My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the fourth Sunday of Advent, a great day. These readings that we have just heard from Sacred Scripture form for me, at least, and I hope that by the time I'm finished talking for you a little bit or somewhat, form for me the basis, the scriptural basis of one of my favorite Christmas songs. The scriptural basis for probably my favorite Christmas song, and that is Once in Royal David's City. The first verse says it all. Once in Royal David's City stood a lowly cattle shed where a maiden laid her infant in a manger for his bed. Mary was that maiden mild, Jesus Christ, her little child. The verses go on. It's basically a children's catechetical song written to tell children about the birth of Jesus Christ and how it all happened. But the important thing to keep in mind is the scriptural basis, because we hear it today in the great writings of the minor prophet, Micah. Last week we heard from Zephaniah, another one of the minor prophets. Today we hear from Micah. Now Micah was one of the prophets, and his prophecies specifically spoke to the poor. They were specifically generated to remind Israel of God's promise made to the poor, to the little ones, to the marginalized, to those who were disenfranchised. So when Micah writes, "And you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too small to be considered among the clans of Israel," not one of the 12 tribes, Micah is speaking of the great formation of the people of God, the formation of Israel. He is speaking of David. He's harking back to the people, reminding them of the fact that in Bethlehem, this insignificant little place, not too far away from Jerusalem, but this little insignificant place, that's where Jesse had his sons. And in the book of Samuel, you go into the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, and you go in and you read in chapter 16 the story of Samuel going to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the king of Israel. So Samuel goes to Bethlehem and waits to see Jesse's sons. And you recall the story. It's, you know, Jesse parades all of his sons before the prophet. And, you know, Jesse's real proud of his kids, so he's, you know, bringing all of his sons. And, you know, he's saying, none of these are to be anointed king. Again, focus on the little ones. And so it was that Jesse says, "Well, I've got the kid, you know, and the kid is out there taking care of the sheep. You know, the little, you know, David, you know, he's out there, you know, shepherding the sheep." So Samuel says, "Bring him in." And the story that's told in the first book of Samuel tells the story of Jesse's son David being anointed king. And Scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord," one of those great lines in Scripture. Of course, great lines in Scripture abound, but one of those great lines, "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David." It's an incredible image, much like the one we have today of John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother. But moment for that. So David becomes king. And there's stories and stories and stories about David. So we got a lot of stuff about David. But remember the most important things. David, of course, established the united kingdoms of Israel. Judah and Israel were brought together into a mighty, mighty, beautiful kingdom. And David established Jerusalem as the center of this kingdom. And to show God's authority and God's presence in the midst of this wonderful city, Jerusalem, the vision of peace, Jerusalem, David brought the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Remember, Moses carried the Ark of the Covenant through the desert. And as they went through the desert, what did the Ark of the Covenant carry? It carried the tablets, the Ten Commandments, the law. And it carried some of the manna, the bread that sustained them. So the word, the life of the people was held in that Ark of the Covenant. Beautiful, beautiful thing. And so David had the Ark of the Covenant brought into Jerusalem. A festive celebration. And David took off his clothes and danced in front of the ark. As the ark came into the city, David danced before the ark as it was brought into the city, praising God. Now today, we hear of the story of the visitation. Beautiful image, beautiful story. The Blessed Virgin Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. Now these are the two nexus points of the scriptures. If you want to know where the Old Testament and the New Testament come together, here's where they join. They join between Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, Elizabeth, his mother, and Mary, the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, and her husband Joseph. So as Scripture comes together, the great Old Testament and New Testament come together in this great moment. Because John the Baptist is announced in all of the trappings of the Old Testament. Remember when Gabriel goes to Zechariah? Zechariah is in at the Holy of Holies before the Ark, and he is there offering sacrifice. The Old Testament law is being fulfilled. When the announcement is made to Mary, she's at home in prayer. The two testaments come together. Mary carries Jesus in her body. And as Mary, the carrier of the New Testament, this new relationship that God is establishing with his people, Mary goes before her cousin Elizabeth, and what happens? John the Baptist, like King David, dances before the Ark of the Covenant. Mary, the new Ark of the Covenant, carrying Jesus in her body. John the Baptist dances before the Lord, leaps for joy. I always tell pregnant women, you know, when they feel their babies moving inside of them, they say, "Do you feel it? Do you feel it?" Leaping for joy. What an incredible gift. What an incredible moment. John the Baptist knew that he was standing before the Ark of the Covenant. And he knew that Jesus was the new law and the new bread of life. And that he, the precursor, he was the one who was going to go out and stir up the crowds and get them ready for the coming of the Savior. That he knew, even in the womb, he was ready. And he leaped for joy. We need to have that sense of joy. Because every single Sunday when we come together here, to come to the altar, we experience something that is so wonderful and so majestic and so beautiful, so mysterious, that in one sense we kind of take it all for granted. You know, as we heard the first reading this morning, we probably thought, oh yeah, Bethlehem, this is the story, it's the time we start hearing about Bethlehem, Jesus, and all that stuff. But did you think about David? Did you think about the royal city? Did you think about Jesus' lineage? During these days, during this novena before Christmas, beginning on the 17th of December on to December 25th, these days are filled with our rememberings, unique, special rememberings of who Jesus is, what Jesus' birthright is, where he comes from, so that we can associate all of this historical stuff with a sense of true worship, so that we can come and recognize the fact that God has become one with us. God has come among us. Just before we began Mass today, Raj Truckee, who is one of the sacristans here at the cathedral, came to me and he said, apparently there was the MSO was here last night or the day before. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra was here, and one of the violinists had a Stradivarius from the 18th century. Magnificent instrument. And he said, I got so close to it. And I really just wanted to touch it. And I said to him, Raj, I said, you get to come here. And you can touch God. Much more valuable than a Stradivarius. We can touch God. That's what the implication is of the Son of God coming among us. Mary's Son, the Son of God. We can touch God. The angels can't do that. We can. The images of Christmas need to be more than just trivial sentimentalities for us. We need to understand that in human history, God has really come among us. Because if we don't understand it in the history of then, we cannot understand it in the history of now. That God is present among us. That we touch and hold the mystery of his presence. That we contain him within us and take him out into the world so that others may leap for joy. So that others may see Christ in us and respond joyfully and lovingly. And that the world may have a sense of hope that inspires and converts and leads to holiness, so that one day we may enter fully into the mystery of Christ's love in his kingdom, to which may God lead us all.